You're listening to DraftKings Network.
And Smetty here.
Have you ever thought about what it would be like to start a podcast with your dad?
Welcome to another edition of Golic and Smetty. I'm Mike Golic Sr. She is Jess Smetana, and the dude sitting next to me is my son, Mike Golic Jr., or Gojo, as you all know him, the Gojo Show on DraftKings. And already, they're both laughing at me. See, this, as I said, you know, I'm going to get my son Mike to come on, because there's a lot to talk about in sports, and certainly that he was at a Taylor Swift concert and TV shows out there. The two of you, it's like when you get together, are giddy in ripping me for my age. Because I say one thing, and you both drop your heads down and laugh. Jess, why is that?
No, it's true. And it's causing me problems in my personal life because I was on vacation with my boyfriend's parents over the weekend and I made fun of his dad like for 4 days in a row. And I was like, I have a problem. I need to stop doing this. I am so disrespectful.
You do realize at some point, Jess, you're going to be my age. Okay?
I hope I live that long.
Yeah. And what's going to happen when you get disrespected at that point and how you're going to feel? That's how I feel. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Now the fake tears come. Okay.
Whatever.
Crocodile tears, Dano. It's you know what it is? It's very easy. And I see it already happening now because as a millennial on TikTok, I just get torn apart by a lot of these Gen Z kids.
Yes.
And I get made fun of for being an old.
Vicious.
So they are. They're terrifying. Like, as empathetic as they are vicious. So I get what you're going through, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop either. Because you did the air quotes thing. Like you did it like you're fucking Dr. Evil in Austin Powers.
Well, he does that all the time when he says Gojo. For some reason, he says it like really like cutesy. Like the Gojo podcast. He does it every week.
Is my podcast a joke to you?
Why do you do that?
God, why are you guys barraging me like this? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Okay?
He just does it. I mean, I like it. It's fun.
Well, no. You both considerably laugh and drop your heads like you're almost disappointed in me when I do something like that.
It's not disappointment. It's just like, oh, like here he goes with his cute little thing again.
Air quotes are
it's
like
infantilizing and patronizing, not disappointing.
100%.
What
She's
the hell was that
right.
first word you said?
We're infantilizing you.
Is that
because
a word?
When old people get super old, they just revert back to being babies again.
Oh, so that's what you're saying? I act like a baby. Air quotes is acting like a baby.
Well, it's like when people say the Facebook still,
but I don't say the Facebook
in front of.
So
things.
You're telling me just so I have this clear. When I do air quotes, that's like saying the Facebook.
Yes.
No. It's not just that. I mean, it was like the 5-minute preamble before we started recording where Mike was trying to help you get on the recording, whatever it is, app, and you couldn't figure that out. See, now I sound like a boomer. I'm like, what is it? What is that thing called? QuickTime? I don't know.
I mean, you just
kids
can't
use these days.
You just can't help ripping old people. You are an age.
I'm ageist.
Yes, I'm incredibly disrespectful.
Are you disrespectful to your father?
Oh, he would say yes. I would say we it equals out.
I think I need to bring him on the show is what I need to do.
No, never. That's never going
to
happen.
Yeah, because I'm trying to do QuickTime to tape this, and I always say I have problems, and you always laugh at me. Mike, was I justified in my complaints?
You were, but I'm starting to realize that this is what Jess just talked about. It's a comfort level, which you should appreciate. The problem is it is infectious. I had the same thing happen. I was at a bachelor party in New Orleans on Saturday night, and it's a group of my buddies from high school, so we're all conditioned to rip on each other the same way that we rip on you. But like Jess said, when you get that in the wrong context, like I met one of my buddy's friends from his current job for the first time and immediately started talking shit about his hat, about his entire outfit. And his reaction very quickly sent the message that, oh, we didn't agree on this social contract before. So now he's kind of uncomfortable with how to go forward.
It happens.
It's infectious.
I don't understand.
It is.
I just don't understand. I don't understand where the hate comes from. Well, we got a decent amount to talk about. Obviously, we're down to the final four in both the men's and the women's. side in basketball. In the NFL, we have the whole Lamar Jackson thing going on right now, where now it comes out that he requested a trade in early March because he doesn't think the Ravens, you know, appreciate what his value is. And last I checked, nobody else has appreciated how his value is either. We can touch on that. But let's start with, because I'm sure in our listening, people listening and watching us, Jess, that we have a lot of, is it Swifties that we're called?
Swifties, yeah.
Swifties that are called. So last Friday, Mike, my wife Chris, my daughter Sydney, and then my son Jake and his wife Jenny all flew to Vegas to go to the Taylor Swift show. And I stayed back with my son-in-law Ben, Sydney's husband, and we watched young 9-month-old Jackson for the night. And we bonded, you know, three guys bonding and five dogs, which was a lot of fun on our side. But you said you're Mike is a big-time Swiftie. Jess, are you? Are you a big Taylor Swift fan?
I'm not really. And I learn a lot about her through Mike and through one of my friends who is 20 and who is a woman that is college age. So it's an interesting, like, I see the Taylor Swift stuff on my timeline and it's really just you guys. And it looks like it was a wonderful time. I watched her concert through your Instagram story. But yeah, I'm not really a Swiftie, never really have been. I respect Taylor Swift, so the Swifties have never come after me. But she's great, but you know, you like her more.
It is amazing because you talk about it online. They are a terrifying force of nature. Like, they're not quite K-pop stans, but they're pretty close as far as the get shit done factor. In person, they're lovely people. Like, I was legitimately in an elevator going down in the Delano to the concert, getting ready to walk over. Three girls in matching sequin jackets walk in the elevator, clearly going to the show. And I commented, made a joke like that you would appreciate about, oh, I feel underdressed.
Yeah,
I, you know, I
should
have got money with you guys. And because I was just dressed like a normie. And so one of them like looked at me very kindly, like she knew she was going to throw me a lifeline, and went to her wrist. She had a ton of homemade friendship bracelets, took one off and gave it to me. Aww. In the elevator. It was so kind. She did the same thing for Jake in the concert later on. We saw the same group, but everyone in general, they're just super supportive. They're to all have a good time. And so I have a glowing review, not only for Taylor Swift, but for the Swifties around the concert. Lovely people.
Well, I love that for you.
So I guess
like you bonded.
So the Beyonce fans would be tougher, do we think? Because if you were to cross one of them, which group would you feel worse coming after you?
I don't know if Mike, you know my history with Underwood fans, but yes. I would never cross those people again. Because wow, was that a week of hell for me.
Yeah.
So I don't really like to talk shit about any female pop star, any celebrity now on Twitter. I just keep my opinions to myself, even if they're warranted, because it's not worth going after someone who's got a big stan following, because they will come for your neck.
No, I don't think.
Oh, Sunday night.
I haven't seen.
Edit that out.
Yeah. I haven't really seen Taylor Swift fans really go after people.
Oh, I know a guy who jokingly taunted the fan base weeks leading up to the concert and ended up having to delete his Twitter. It got so yeah,
I love it. You know, she brings people together either with love or
with hate for
yeah, the people yeah. that hate on her.
So the question I have is, I don't know how many dates she has. How many?
53 shows.
So 53 shows. She started out here in Arizona with two and then went to Vegas. You guys saw her third show. And obviously still it's early in the tour. She plays 44 songs and plays for over 3 hours. Is there any way that you saw the production now? It's like
it's a Broadway show.
It's not like Adele.
It looks crazy.
Yeah, it's not like Adele standing there and just kicking out a song with her incredibly great voice. This is an unbelievable show. Can she hold this up for 52? And not just her, but obviously the whole group.
So I think she can, and I talked to Nora Princiati over at The Ringer about this. She's one of the foremost Taylor Swift experts on God's Internet.
I was going to mention her as well as someone who, you and her and my friend, there's Taylor Swift every day on my pages.
And Nora's like the informed voice on this, and she brought up a good point because she does the Every Single Album Taylor Swift pod. They did a review. Taylor Swift, you're right, it's not quite Adele where she's just one woman alone with a microphone and there's not a ton of movement on stage. But it's also not like you know, Michael Jackson or like a Chris Brown show or a more involved one where she's heavy into the dancing. She's involved, but the backup dancers are doing a lot more of the movement there. Taylor's doing a lot of singing, but it's somewhere in the middle of all of those. And so when you combine all those, yeah, I think between what's actually asked of her in the show, which is still a lot, but also the commitment to it as far as the work her and her crew have put into this, prepping for the physical toll, I think she's got it. I think if anyone knows what this was going to take, it's her.
So here's the thing, Jess. There is a correlation that I did not know from her concert to the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs that Mike will now fill you in on. And well, I saw some tape of the guy on stage. He really is unbelievable.
Isn't the connection that we went to school with her brother and you also cover the Chiefs? I mean, that's a one degree of separation right there.
That's a connection. That is a connection. This is a even better connection.
That is true.
This is the first time I've seen her since I saw her at football practice where Golden Tate preempted our stretching lines to go over there and shake Taylor Swift's hand as she was going around the field. So not since we had sent she had sent our practice into a tizzy. But no, we were sitting there, and her backup dancers are a huge part of the show. Again, there's like acts to this. It's a full-blown play. And one of her performers was a bigger guy who moved incredibly well, and we all said had big D-tackle energy. Just the way he moved around out there, his combine scouting would have been footwork, smooth mover, great hips. And so my brother was so enamored, he looked him up after the show. His name's Cameron Saunders, and he's actually the older brother of former Chiefs and now Saints D-tackle Kalen Saunders, who was at the Saturday night show with his family. I guess he lives outside of Vegas, and saw some really heartwarming posts. So Cameron is the older brother of Kalen, who's the NFL player, but you know, his kids call him TT Goofy. There was all this really cute stuff in there, and he was a huge part of the show, a dynamic performer. And so top to bottom, it's a really impressive group of people that came together to give the most impressive show of a concert I've ever seen.
Is this a career opportunity that you missed? Like, could this have been your second act?
100%. 100%.
What, a backup dancer?
Yes. Oh, my God.
You have good footwork.
Yeah.
I've seen
you
move.
Good enough footwork. I'm all down for the outfit changes there. I have a background in middle school theater, so I could have done some of the bit parts and the various...
Like, you totally... Like, it's not too late, first of all. You're still very young. But also, like, I think you missed out a little bit on this.
Yeah, now that you say it out loud, I'm kind of swelling with regret. Because he looked like he was having a great time, and he gets to hang out with Taylor Swift.
How he moves is unreal. Jess, this guy is, when we say D-tackle, he looks like a D-tackle. But, I mean, he moves like he's 110 pounds. It's really impressive.
Is there a reality show about, like, becoming a background dancer? It sounds like something that probably already exists. But if it is, we need to get you on it, or we need to invent it ourselves so that you can win
it. I think that's the making of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. I think that's the...
Oh, no.
Yeah, but for...
Background
yeah.
noise.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
That's the name of the show that I would pitch. Background noise.
Let's do it. I feel like it already... Like, every type of reality competition show has been made. So I feel like there's a... MILF Manor exists. This thing's got to exist. But
MILF Manor?
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen that one?
No, so I have not.
MILF Manor, I didn't watch the season, but they set it up with this shocking reveal in the previews where you had all these MILFs in a house that were getting ready to date, and then you find out what is the assumed plot twist at the end was they're actually in a manor all dating each other's sons.
Seriously?
Yeah.
This is where we are. Jess, do you watch MILF Manor?
I don't. It sounds... like legitimately horrifying. It sounds like
horrible.
Something that if Sigmund Freud were still alive, he would have dug his claws into immediately. I mean, there's a lot going on with that show. And that's what I mean, Mike. Like, every reality competition show has been made. So this probably exists, and we need to get Gojo on it.
I bet it would be pretty cool because, again, you talk about Taylor Swift performing. What these dancers doing to do that 52 times. Yeah, so I go back to the original question is, man, can she hold up? All those people hold up.
I figure, like, me and Sydney were talking about this after the show. It has to be like how we see now when you see players getting interviewed in the locker rooms after games and they're already in the Normatex or they're riding the bike to flush stuff out and guys are working out. It's got to be like a pro athlete recovery program.
Yeah.
And I hope that means they're also doing HGH.
Yeah.
I was watching a like Get Ready With Me video a few years ago with the star of the SpongeBob SquarePants musical. And after he's done with the show, because this is the Taylor Swift, you know, the thing that I am always shocked by is their voices being able to hold up while they're singing night after night, right? So this Broadway guy, as soon as he was done with his show, did not speak for the rest of the night. Like, he's doing the Get Ready With Me, and he's completely silent, and people are talking to him, and he's just, like, nodding his head and stuff. He doesn't talk when he's done. Like, he just leaves, and he doesn't use his voice until the next day because he has to rest it. And that is crazy to me.
The sentence, "I was watching the Get Ready With Me video of the star of the SpongeBob musical," is the most Jess Smetana sentence ever.
I saw the musical. I saw it on Broadway. My dad got me tickets to it in like 2018, and me and my friend Harry Lyles, who was a college football reporter for ESPN, went to see SpongeBob the musical, and it was phenomenal. No longer on Broadway, but shout out to SpongeBob.
I'm glad you did that. Wow. That's pretty impressive.
I love that. But yeah, that was absolutely what we talked about too. This idea, does she just go in a dark room and not talk to anybody?
Right.
Like, I know how I feel after doing an hour and a half podcast where sometimes I don't want to talk to people. She just yelled at a crowd for 3+ hours.
It's crazy.
Quarterbacks have to rest their voices after doing like a cadence for an entire game, right? Like, they sometimes you can lose your voice doing that, and then it screws up your...
Can we not martyr them any more than they're already martyred?
Here we go.
I mean, seriously.
You hit the button.
You can hear it through your television when they're calling out plays, and they're
because they have to yell Omaha too much. Omaha, Omaha.
Get
him some hot tea.
It feels like they put on a tougher voice to give out the cadence too. Like, you'll hear a lot of these guys talk normal, and all of a sudden they get up to the line, it's like, "Rrrr, it's like, you don't
they're
talk
They're all Southern.
Like that.
They all have Southern accents at the line. Like, remember when Aaron Rodgers just had a Southern accent after that one game, and we were like, what's that about?
Yeah, and all of a sudden it's Brian Kelly all over again. Yeah, I don't know, it's you. Maybe I'm bitter about the quarterback thing because the owners' meetings are going on actually not too far from my place out here in Arizona. And they just basically wanted nothing to do with roughing the passer being reviewable because of all the shitty calls that are made during the year that cost a defense when they should be off the field, but the quarterback landed a little too hard on the field. So now they get 15 yards and a first down. They didn't want to make that reviewable. So while you guys are mocking me, you know, as I go off on my rant, I think it's justified. I think it's bullshit the way they call the roughing the passer, how much they're protecting the quarterback, and to not even make it reviewable to say, you know what, every now and then we can screw it up, you know, and why don't we catch it so it doesn't cost the team on third down when they can get off the field.
There weren't that many times where it was... I mean, I know we debated it endlessly, but there were only a couple from last season I can think of that...
A couple? There's a couple a game, let alone a couple for the season.
Not that many.
Come on, Jess.
Not that people actually give a damn about. And is it really worth it to slow down the game any more than we already
do?
That's
the thing.
Reviews?
I mean, I don't know if you guys have been reading about the college football changes that are coming.
Yeah.
They're going to start... I guess there's three rules that they're proposing, or four rules that they're proposing to make the games quicker. And obviously the best thing to make the games quicker would be fewer media timeouts, but that's how these leagues make money now. It's the same thing with the NFL. It's like, do we really want more reviews? It's already, some of them are so slow and so long. I don't know if that is the hill that I would die on.
I would say this. Oh,
plays.
I would die on this hill for sure. Yeah, say this. A, get more proficient at reviews to do them a little
Which
quicker.
Which they have. Some of those expedited reviews have actually been a huge godsend.
I agree.
Yeah.
And B, Jess, if you say there's only a couple of the year, then it's barely not going to add any time. But we could maybe get it
Fair
right.
Enough. Good argument.
We could maybe get it right. So a team that just busted its ass to get off the field doesn't have to live with a shitty call and be first and 10 again.
Does this help offense?
I know. If it doesn't help offense, nobody cares.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying I don't feel your guys' pain. I'm just saying the league office does not give a shit.
I know. I understand that. I understand we got to play that stinking game, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Oh, man. Did you guys see the picture of all of the coaches, the yearly coaches and GM's picture?
Oh, it's the best. Yes.
I, I so greatly appreciated Sean Payton making his return to the NFL and announcing his presence with authority by bulldogging everybody within arm's reach of him. He sat up so square and tall while some guys like Sean McVay and others look like they're stuffed in a gym locker.
He is he's very broad. You're right. He's man-spreading. Do we still say man-spreading?
I mean, you spread your
knees like as far apart as possible and take up as much space as you humanly can.
That's 100% what it is. You learn a lot about how these guys would be on an airplane based on how they're willing to sit here.
With the armrest. How about the who's got
control
of the
armrest? As
if they've
ever sat in economy in their lives, right? Yeah, they're all used to having like their own little pod in first class. I like looking at the outfit choices too. Like you got your quarter zips, your button downs, your long sleeves. Some like Mike Tomlin's dressing it up with a blazer. It's always fun to just judge everyone. Usually Andy Reid's got some sort of like printed Hawaiian shirt on. I think he had one on this week as well. It's always nice to just go through. And my favorite thing every year is like, can I name any of the new coaches? Do I know what they look like? There's like last year I was like, who is that? Oh, that's Arthur Smith. Huh, that's what he looks like. It's always a fun little exercise.
Oh, there's 100% three guys up there I couldn't name off the first look.
Right, like Dennis Allen, I'm still not really sure what he looks like.
Dennis Allen seems more like an idea than an actual person to me.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Brian Daboll.
You're looking at last year's picture.
Oh, is this last year's picture?
Yep. I can say Matt Rule's
in there, so it can't be.
No, Daboll left his sunglasses on in this year's picture, and he's got a lot of sunburn on that bald head of his.
I saw a report that Brian Daboll was the first coach to crack a beer at 11:30 in the morning on the second day of meetings. I love that guy.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It is Andy Reid every year in the Hawaiian shirt. I just love. I'm with you. And I now that I'm looking at it, I see what you're saying about Sean Payton, the man spreading and throwing
also,
the knees out there.
Did anyone else know Mike McCarthy was fucking huge? He looks like the Hulk on the end of that thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I knew he was
big.
He
does, yeah. He's got the nice jacket on as well. And like all the shoe choices, Andy Reid's got some nice like comfy slides on. You got like a lot of white sneakers. No one's really going with the dress shoe anymore.
The thing I learned was that Bill Belichick clearly ties his shoes bunny ear style because the laces were up and down. That only happens when you tie bunny ears, which is the objectively worst way to tie.
And I think Andy Reid, because he's won the Super Bowls now and is, you know, one of the great coaches, he could have, but he didn't. He kept his knees in nice and tight. He didn't try and take anybody's space. You know, he just said,
who's the guy in the Jordans on the first row, Gojo?
No, you're flipping too fast. That is,
is this who we're talking about?
No, that's, the coach of the Browns.
Oh, Stefanski.
Oh,
yeah.
Stefanski.
Kevin
really?
Stefanski.
Kevin Stefanski.
Didn't recognize him.
Yep. Salt and pepper beard, a little bit too well lined up and clearly wearing Jordans to try and be a cool dad.
But I did an awards banquet in Cleveland the year he was hired and he was there and we chatted. He does have a wonderful beard. Wonderful beard.
I think
Pete Carroll looks the best, I hate to say.
Pete Carroll looks the best?
He does.
Look at his hair. He looks phenomenal.
He's got great hair. Is he or Bill the oldest, right?
He's older.
I think he's older. I do think he's the oldest. I think he's the oldest.
I just love in all of this, my biggest takeaway was that when we re-up, I'm sure, for summer sports talk radio / podcasting, and we do the coaching cage match conversation, next to Kevin O'Connell in the
Dan
back.
Campbell.
Dan Campbell, the number one overall pick.
But we're not even close.
Well, just because I met Kevin O'Connell at the Super Bowl, and he's like full 6'6". He's super tall.
Yeah, I didn't know how tall he was till I saw this picture.
Yeah, he is very tall. Now, D'Amico Ryans might come in and get just from the age factor, being young and a former linebacker, as far as the cage match.
It would make a great, like, setting the edge drill between him because you obviously have Dan Campbell as a former tight end. So you could definitely – those two guys will definitely be down there at, like, Mike Vrabel style, strapping it up with players before games.
Yeah, that's true. And, boy, you're right about Daboll. What a redhead he has. Holy smokes.
Is it hot out there still in Arizona?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's getting pretty hot. This week is a very, very warm week, so –
Dable's every bald-bearded white guy, too. Like, his skin is just not built to handle this kind of sun.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so, Mike, before we get you out of here, let's do a little NFL. And the big news now is Lamar Jackson came out. He tweeted March 2nd that he requested a trade because the Ravens don't see his value. I'm
I'm getting to the point here where I've already said I think the move by Baltimore was a good move, that they couldn't come up with a deal, go get a deal somewhere else, and then we'll match it, and we still have you as our quarterback. I don't buy the whole bad blood thing. You get over that when you get paid a lot of money. You work through the bad blood. But right now, I hear so many analysts and former players say, how are you not paying the guy, blah, blah, blah. And we know the owners don't want to get into guaranteed contracts. But the bottom line is the bottom line. Nobody is offering him that deal. So he's either going to get a fully guaranteed deal, which seems less likely, or he's going to have to come up with a number that he's going to live with that's not fully guaranteed, or he sits. I mean, those are the options, right?
Yeah, those are the options. Yeah. But I think we learned this week when Lamar Jackson decides to play the game, right? He'd been responding and reacting to everything that had been coming out clearly of Ravens camp through NFL insiders for a while. And so he decided to let loose his own tweet basically saying, yeah, March 2nd, I asked for a trade from this team, right as John Harbaugh's getting set to talk at the NFL owners meetings. That was calculated. That was something he decided to do to make sure he was the number one thing talked about at the beginning of the media coverage of this, and I'm sure among the people around the league there. And what we saw and learned was, well, the Colts are clearly ready to kick the tires on this. Chris Ballard said, yeah, we're in the market for really good football players at that position. Lamar's a good football player, declined to get into specifics, but he didn't say no the way we saw other teams do. We heard from Robert Kraft that apparently Meek Mill hit him up on behalf of Lamar Jackson and said that Lamar wants to be a Patriot. And he said, that's up to Bill. So we didn't hear a no either. We started to see more of the conversation and a couple avenues, especially in the Colts, that seemed like a real viable path. Like, hell, if there's anyone who's going to go buck wild and give Lamar a fully guaranteed deal, it's crazy ass Jim Irsay, who started to get Daniel Snyder out of the paint last year here.
What did you think of John Harbaugh's reaction to it? Because it was right before he went up to talk to the media, and I actually thought he handled it like pretty well, given he had no warning that that was going to be the entire— he knew obviously that Lamar's situation was going to be the main talking point, but the tweets about the trade request was brand new.
Yeah, he did a great job with that, just because he's smart. Like, when everything was going on with Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago, when it started to get weird around the Jordan Love draft, I remember Matt LaFleur was always right on Aaron's side. He's like, yeah, of course, because he's a coach and he realizes how much better a coach he is with a great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. John Harbaugh's the same way. He's seen how the other half lives around this league. And so he knows, me just continuing to operate as if Lamar Jackson is my quarterback is, one, the easiest PR strategy for them, and two, probably somewhat of what he feels, given the fact that he doesn't want to have to start all over this late in his coaching career.
So, in case people don't know, we only talk really about the two sides of it. If another team wants him, they have to give him two first-round draft picks and do a deal, or Baltimore can match it and they have him. But if Baltimore and another team, say the Colts, work out a trade, then it doesn't have to be the two first-round picks. It could be whatever trade value you put on it, plus basically a sign-in trade for the deal that Lamar wants. I still think Baltimore is in this. I don't buy into the whole bad blood. They don't want me. They don't know my value. Again, I think this was a smart business move for a— if Lamar was truly saying, I want a fully guaranteed contract, and we know the Ravens offered, what, $250 with $133 guaranteed, up to $175 with injury, fully guaranteed. And if Lamar only wanted a fully guaranteed contract and they didn't want to do it, I really think it was the right move to say, all right, have somebody else do it. Have somebody else. If they want to do it, then maybe we'll revisit and we'll think about doing it. But do you think if another team does the two first-rounders and offers them a fully guaranteed deal, Baltimore matches?
I don't know at this point. Like, they let it get to this point for a reason. Like, clearly they feel differently about him than the rest of us do. So, I don't know. I would assume so. I know that there's things in that point that other teams can do to make it financially impossible for them to match.
So, you say they feel different about him than the rest of us do. Well, the other 31 teams feel the same way right now.
Well,
Baltimore
no.
Feels.
The other teams feel that way with the stipulation that Baltimore can match. If Lamar Jackson was truly a free agent and they didn't have to worry about upsetting their plans and their organization
more
for something that may not come. He's hamstrung by that part of the process, which is why him potentially sitting out is a viable option, because he doesn't have to worry, I don't think, about the same things Le'Veon Bell did when it came to it affecting his free agency if he didn't play X amount of games that year. And so, yeah, Lamar Jackson could absolutely sit this season in a way that would ruin Baltimore's life.
The only thing I would say, Jess, is Dak Prescott had a major injury and he got paid more than what everybody expected him to pay. So I don't know why Lamar would sit out. You know, and he'd make $32 million, even if he got hurt. As I said, we just saw Dak get a hell of a lot more money than people he thought he was going to get. So to me, sitting out is you can threaten it all you want, but I never think that's a good option.
Right. Like, it worked for Deshaun Watson, but I don't think, like, they're in completely different positions contract-wise. And I think that would be a bummer for everyone, especially fans, because he's 26 and sitting out a year in your prime would be disappointing, to say the least. But
you guys
have to do what makes the most sense for him.
You guys did notice he's running the same playbook that Roquan Smith ran in Chicago, right? You remember when Roquan did this the summer he was beefing with the Bears?
Yes.
Yep.
Same deal. Public letter to the fan base. Like, I'm sure those guys talk. Like, I don't know anything on that, but they were teammates for half a year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Lamar is getting ready to walk into the same situation. I'm sure at some point might have hit him up and be like, so, hey, how does this go? And that was, you know, St. Omni. We've now moved on to Ken Francis as our next mythical NFL figure that we're not quite sure who or what he does. And then Meek Mill also.
But it's the interesting thing to me also is we as former players and fans, especially of that team, basically are like, I'll pay the guy. Just pay the guy. And listen, I want to see every player get all the money he can get. But there is another side to this. There is another side to this from the business standpoint of it as well. And forgetting even the business, the precedent side of it, that Cleveland, while everybody says is an outlier, if I'm a player like Lamar, I said, outlier, hell. You paid the guy that, so that's a precedent as far as I'm concerned. So give me my money. But it's easy for everybody else to spend somebody's money without looking at the whole business side of this, I think.
But enough about your kids.
Hey-o! Yeah. You get it?
No.
You really don't?
Don't worry about it.
It's okay.
See, you guys are doing this where you're talking over my head.
Oh,
you think
man.
It's nice?
How scared do you think Mike Brown and the Bengals are?
Yeah.
If they give him anywhere close to fully guaranteed money and Joe Burrow's just sitting there staring at that franchise that's never been interested in spending money.
I think even if they don't, they're probably already like... I think the Deshaun Watson thing has probably spooked every front office, right? But I also think that if they don't, the Bengals are like, well, our path to win the division just got a lot easier without Lamar Jackson in it, so.
Ooh, that is a real tough choice. You get Lamar out of your division if he gets what he wants, but at the same time, you also then actually have to start ponying up.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay Joe Burrow a lot, but you're going to have to pay him a lot of money regardless because he's Joe Burrow.
It's Burrow and Herbert, right? I mean, is there anybody else? Is Jalen Hurts, are we putting him in that conversation?
Well, I mean, Jalen Hurts is going to come up this summer. Like, there's a chance that at this rate, that could happen before Lamar Jackson's deal gets consummated.
Right. And you wonder where that fits in with when Burrow and Herbert get their money. And it's all the great quarterbacks are in the AFC. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, you better have a great quarterback in the AFC or you got no shot. Correct?
It's true. Yeah, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Kenny Pickett, they're all there.
Kenny.
All the greats.
Kenny Pickett.
We haven't talked about the Steelers in like 6 months. All right, I had to get a joke off.
And probably with good reason.
Tomlin said he's excited about the potential there, Jess. The gloves are on, baby.
He
the gloves
be.
Are on.
They've actually made some, I think, pretty decent. Mike, you're an O-line guy. Tell me about Isaac Simulo.
Yeah, I would say that was a good signing for them at a very need position. Like, I think one of the best things and smartest things you can do in general as far as O-line development now, if you don't have a coach that's necessarily like what they've got in Philadelphia, you go and just get guys with high pedigree from places that have been in those. That's why in college you see people go to the Alabamas and Iowas and Notre Dames of the world constantly, because you know what you're going to get out of those places. So, yeah, just go right across to the other side of Pennsylvania and grab you one of them hosses.
Yeah, they needed help on the O-line too. So they got to protect Pickett a little more if he's even going to become an average quarterback. Right, Jess?
I said Kenny did pretty good at the end of
last year. That was a joke. I was, God forbid I try a joke.
Yeah,
God
we'll
forbid.
Funny next time.
The old guy. Oh. All right.
All right. Mike, wait, before Gojo goes, Gojo, have you seen this report that the Jets are taking their time now because of Aaron Rodgers being 90% retiring before entering the 4-day darkness chamber? They're concerned for clarification about the retirement comment, not the fact that he went into a darkness chamber for 4 days.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's New York. Jess, you lived in New York. I'm sure there's weirder shit every day happening there than a darkness retreat.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's just called February in New York.
I was going to say, nothing
the
new.
Sun sets at 3 p.m. And it rises at 8.
So did I see that's affecting what they want as far as compensation from the Packers to kind of offset that notion that you might, like, you got to look at this as one year. A maybe in year two, which is again why I think the Jets are in a precarious spot and the Packers can kick their feet up. Because, Dad, while you say, we don't really have to give a damn if Aaron Rodgers shows up and works out in the offseason, I'm sure if you're the Jets, you like that.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know any of the – he knows Nathaniel Hackett and he knows Alan Lazard. He didn't know any of the rest of these guys that are all going to be really important to their success. And so the longer the Packers drag this thing out, I think the more and more desperate the Jets have to get, even if they're putting on a brave face.
I'll still
right
say,
now.
You know, he didn't know any of the rookie receivers in Green Bay last year. He didn't feel the need to go work with them.
And it was one of their toughest seasons to date where they didn't go 13-3 and win the NFC.
And as I said, he's done this his whole career. So to expect him to do it with the Jets and be pissed if he doesn't, no, man. You get who you're getting. To expect him to change now and say, I'm going to walk into this and I'm going to kumbaya everybody and we're going to go pass and play together every day is ridiculous.
I'm just saying you'd probably like him there.
Oh,
or
no.
Or at least like to have him in your organization as your quarterback before August. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Now I don't hear Jess. What did I do?
What'd you do?
That's showbiz, baby. That's showbiz.
Goodbye, Mike.
Hey, guys, thanks. Download, subscribe, rate, review Gojo wherever you get your podcast. 5-star rating.
Gojo.
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 You know, I'm sorry that we had to let my son Gojo go, Jess, so you could stop your rip session of me. I mean, it just seems like it's just natural for the two of you.
It is. That's what's scary about it.
I can't believe. Wait. This you said earlier. You were with your boyfriend's parents. This wasn't the first time, right?
No.
Okay.
I've known them for a while. Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. The first time you met them, were you an asshole to them then, like you were over vacation?
Probably. Yeah.
So you know what? You know what? I respect that because you should always be you. You should always be you.
I agree with that. You know what? I don't try to put on a facade. That's for
no.
sure.
Always
you
be you, Jess.
You see what you get.
Yep.
Whatever that expression
you stay you. You stay you. That's why I love you. That's why, I know.
One thing that they've come to understand about me is that regardless of what time of year we're spending time together, there's always some sort of Notre Dame game or activity that I need to watch on TV. So we planned our Saturday around the Sweet 16 game that Notre Dame played against Maryland, which they played hard, Mike, but Maryland was.
Well, I mean, Notre Dame's missing too much.
And
it was also a Notre Dame day because I was flipping between that
and the lacrosse and game right?
on ESPNU. Notre Dame, which was 6-0 and number one in the country in men's lacrosse, played Virginia, which was number three and only had one loss in Virginia. Virginia handled them pretty good. It was 16-10. It was at Notre Dame, and the cool thing was on the berm there was the football team.
Yes.
Before or after their spring practice, they were all out there. It was like 36 degrees and half snow and rain, a typical winter day in South
Classic.
Bend. But that was pretty
That's
cool.
Warm except, for them.
Yeah, exactly. But it was bad for Notre Dame lacrosse and Notre Dame women's basketball. Real quick, Micah Shrewsbury, what do we know about him? The Penn State coach who became the men's basketball coach, took over for Mike Bray, who is down in South Florida now and get a coach down there. I've heard nothing but great things. I have not met Micah, but I've heard great things about him.
I was going to say the same thing. I'm not super familiar with any of the teams that he's coached. He used to coach IUSB, so he's lived in South Bend before.
Indiana guy, yeah.
He's from Indiana, so that worked in Notre Dame's favor. I think it is a exciting. Anytime your team's hiring another Power 5 coach, I think that's always a sign that they're willing to commit, to someone who's going to grow the program and make them. Back where they were 9 years ago or 8 years ago when Notre Dame was making the tournament every year, back-to-back Elite Eights, recruiting really well. So, I don't know. I think it's exciting. I think, 7 years shows that they're making a pretty big commitment to men's basketball that I think if you were just a casual fan, you might wonder in the NIL, like, one-and-done portal era, if Notre Dame men's basketball was going to make that sort of commitment, and in the shows that they're willing to. So that's
I think they are. I don't know if they'll get the players to be one-and-done, but with NIL and with the transfer portal, and Mike, I think, has a great reputation as well, will he be able to, from the transfer – obviously, there's recruiting that's involved, but then to get – for the transfer portal to get players in, how quickly can he build this team? Because you're right. While Mike Bray had a hell of a career here, you know, it was intermittent when he got to the tournament and how far he got in the tournament. And I think Notre Dame would like a little more consistency in at least getting to the tournament, some Sweet 16, Elite Eights, or further, you know, and see if Micah can bring this in. So we welcome him to the Notre Dame coaching family, yeah, for sure.
Hopefully we'll have him on sometime.
Yes. I saw he was talking to the football team before one of their spring practices, which was pretty cool. But we were talking about the women's basketball team that lost. The women's Final Four set, and given two of the number one seeds with an upset, you still ended up with decent chalk. Three LSU against one Virginia Tech and two Iowa against one South Carolina. I'll be honest with you. I don't know a ton about LSU and Virginia Tech, so one of the biggest things I'm going to look for is what Kim Mulkey is wearing, because yes. She has now done this unbelievable fashion show for every game of what she has done. But I certainly look forward to that game. But, I mean, what is going to go on with Caitlin Clark from Iowa, who is unbelievable? She is so much fun to watch. Against undefeated South Carolina. Where are they at? 40 now from last year to this year?
30, they're 40 in a row. 40 in a row, or something like that. But this year they're 35-0.
Yes.
They haven't lost this entire season. Their last loss was in the SEC championship game last year.
Made the run then and won the title, and now looking to do it again back to back. Yeah.
I don't know if you watched any of the Maryland South Carolina game that was on Monday night, but South Carolina is so tall. They play great defense. Aaliyah Boston's a National Player of the Year candidate. She won it last year. She's an amazing player, probably the best in college basketball right now. She gets like doubled every single game, and she's incredibly talented. So that matchup with Iowa, who's got one of the hottest shooters I think that we maybe have seen ever, or at least in a long time in college basketball, is going to be a crazy matchup. And then on the other side, Virginia Tech, they have the ACC Player of the Year, Elizabeth Kitley, and LSU has their own star player, Angel Reese, who transferred from Maryland to play for Kim Mulkey. So both sides of it are going to be really exciting, I think. So there's a lot to watch on the women's basketball front. And I've heard people say that they are more excited about that Final Four than the men's Final Four because there's some, you know, strange teams in it this year. But I'm kind of looking forward to both.
Oh, I am for sure. But, I mean, that from the power matchup, I mean – so for the men, you're looking at 9 FAU against 5 San Diego State and then 5 Miami against 4 UConn. But, I mean, you don't have the power. When you're looking at an individual power, you mentioned from the National Player of the Year candidate from South Carolina. They have stars
Leah
there.
Boston, yeah.
But Caitlin Clark has just been incredible. So to have that style power and that team against this juggernaut right now, at least from last year and this year, of what South Carolina is doing. I know my buddy Darius Rucker has to be pretty happy in what's going on here. But that's kind of the power game, right, from both Final Fours. And that's the one I'm looking forward to. But did you see when it was Sue Bird showed up to – it was Iowa's practice, right?
Yes.
That was really cool how infatuated the players were.
Yeah,
it's good
to
see that.
Yeah, they were so excited to
see
that.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Very, very cool to see that. But – I think what the most interesting thing on the men's side to me, Jess, is, you know, the fact that all, you know, obviously, you know, we have no 1, 2, or 3s anywhere in this thing. I think it's like the third highest when you add the numbers up of the seeds that we've had. I think the thing to me that I see, especially going forward, could UConn be back? I mean, remember when it was UConn women who lost in the last round and the UConn men, one year they were national champs together, but they both were dominating both men and women's side. And obviously the UConn men had fallen off for a while. And boy, the way they're playing right now, they're the favorite, actually. They're sitting at minus 125 on the DraftKings Sportsbook. They're -125. And then at San Diego State at +380, Miami at +475, and FAU at +650. But UConn is a favorite. Now, the women are right there. As I mentioned, they lost last round. And I actually watched their regular season game against South Carolina. It was a close game for a bit, and then South Carolina started pulling away at the end. But that's what I take away from this. I know the UConn women are always going to be right up there. But are the men having this resurgence now with Dan Hurley, a coach, and, you know, kind of bringing this team back a little bit?
Well, I the fact that they are the odds-on favorite to win, like, yes, I think that that's a sign that their men's program's having a better season. I can't speak to, like, the program as a whole. I can speak to the women's side, which is, you know, their 14-season consecutive Final Four streak ended, which is an insane statistic that they've made the Final Four 14 seasons in a row. Is the UConn dynasty over? Articles already being written.
Right.
And I don't necessarily subscribe to that because they're going to have a lot of talent next year. And they're one of their best players, Paige Beckers, was out the entire season.
Right.
So.
Exactly. But, yeah, I don't see them. They certainly aren't going to drop off like the men's program did. You know, not by any stretch. And I don't see them really dropping off much at all. They're not going to be maybe as dominant as they were. But man, oh man, if the little Stores Connecticut, if all of a sudden they have the men's and the women's two of the top teams again, that would be something.
Well, what are you most excited for this weekend? Which game? South Carolina, Iowa?
I think it is South Carolina, Iowa.
I think that's appointment television.
I do. I think that's what I'm looking forward to. I mean, did you see I think the ESPN bracket challenge had like, I don't know how many millions of people, 37 brackets had this Final Four.
That's how, but no, it should be zero.
I know. I'm stunned at that, but I think that's what I read, that 37
That makes
of
me
them,
think that, like, a computer is filling out different, every different combination of Final Fours, because who would put FAU and even Miami, like either South Florida team in the Final Four is crazy to me.
Yep. I completely agree. So I don't know how that happened, but it happened. And I should say on the
Miami
women's side.
Miami fans like, we told you we were a Final Four team. Fine, well, whatever. But
how about Miami? The women's side, the women and men made, you know, a decent little run there. The women finally got ousted. But and it was wild. I don't know if it ever been done before where the women and men both knocked off the same team when they both knocked off Indiana.
I don't know if that's ever been done before either. I need to check on that. It's crazy that happened. Right?
Yeah,
it was on
back-to-back
nights.
I am looking forward to that game. We'll see. And then obviously next week we'll be talking about the champions in basketball. So I look forward to that. I don't know what else is coming out of the men's or the, I should say, the NFL owners meetings that we were chatting about a little more. As I said, it's right down the street from me here in Arizona.
Well, you should go wiretap some of the rooms and
see what's happening. Yeah, you're
see
getting
what's happening.
The
scoop.
You're getting the most, you know, milquetoast answers, which isn't shocking, you know, of any of the people that are talking. So I never cared a whole lot about that. How about real quickly to finish up, any TV shows that you're I watched the first episode of Succession's last season. I don't know if you watched that.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm actually watching a really bad show right now that I need to finish.
What?
It's called Outer Banks. Have we talked about Outer
Banks?
Wait
a minute. Yet? Okay. Now, I saw when you either tweeted or Instagram, one of the two, about that. I watch Outer Banks. I could not agree more. I keep watching it. I keep going, this is really bad, and yet I keep watching it. I finished the season. I'm done with this season.
Wait, you're caught up?
Yes.
You finished season three?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I finished, yes.
Wow, okay, it just came out. That's some serious television watching. I respect that.
I never watch shows like, and I know I don't, this isn't one of them, like Succession or Last of Us, you know, when they're on Sunday nights or whatever. I never watch them when they're on. I always watch them after the fact. But I know Outer Banks is just, they release the whole season. You watch it how you want.
Yeah.
But I binge these things. So
Outer Banks was made for it because the episodes pick up right where the episode before ended. Like, there's no time jump. It just is all continuous. In fact, like, there's this show So it's about these like five kids that live in the Outer Banks and they find buried treasure and everything. If anyone hasn't watched it, that's basically the premise.
Yeah.
But so many insane things happen to these kids that are like 16.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it keeps escalating because it's like, oh, well, we've already done the car chase. So now we have to do a shootout. Now we have yeah. to hijack a shipping yeah. container. And like all these ridiculous things keep happening.
They
so,
are yeah, ridiculous.
I can't stop watching it because I do want to see how it ends because I know it's going to be stupid. But it's like really bad. And it blows my mind.
How many more do you have?
I've just finished season two.
Oh, you have the whole season. So, oh, okay. All right. Let me just say, the only thing I'll say is it ends and you don't know if it ends.
Oh God. No. Good. Are they making another season?
I they could go either way. And that's all I'll say. You'll see it.
Mike.
And they could go either way. Because I am so with you. I keep why do I keep watching this? And
but
I keep watching
stop.
It. I know.
It's like the Breaking Bad meme with Jesse when he's like, they can't keep getting away with this.
Yep.
That's how I feel about these writers. Every
Me too.
Time they write something and then something crazy happens like 5 minutes later, I'm like, they cannot keep getting away with this. There's one episode, I'm not trying to spoil anything, but there's an episode in season two where one of the main characters has like anaphylactic shock, gets shot with like an EpiPen,
yep.
gets into a car accident, totals his car. And then at the end of the episode, they're blowing up a port with like a gas explosion and
oh,
then
yeah.
they hijack a ship. Like, how does that all happen in
oh,
one
just
episode?
Wait. Just
they're
wait.
16.
Just wait. What they're able to do in this season.
Deal with it.
Is I know, but there are some good plot twists in it. I mean, since we're watching it, I mean, I'm on one of those right now too, Jess. It's called Wrong Side of the Tracks on Netflix.
Okay.
It is bad. And
I'm
yet,
writing this down.
I know. And yet I keep watching it. I again, I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? And yet I keep doing it. But Succession
well, I'll
is
I'll need to
phenomenal.
Watch that to, for a palate cleanser tonight,
yeah,
I
yeah.
think.
Succession
after I start
so
season three of Outer
good.
Banks.
So the first episode of last season of Succession is out now. And this is the final season. So I look forward to seeing how that's going to end. But, oh, my God. I mean, that's – ugh. I have another one that I don't know if I can bring myself back to because I started watching it. It's called Biohackers. And
what is that?
I know. I got a problem. You talk to my wife. She just laughs at me because I download all this shit because, like I said, whenever I travel for work, by
yeah.
the time I get on the plane, I make sure all my work is done. I don't want to be doing it right up to tomorrow. I was kind of that way with football. By the time we got to game day, I was done. I was ready to go. And I'm kind of the same way here. So when I get on a plane, I just like to kind of free my mind of any kind
yeah.
of the work and watch stupid shows like Biohackers or Wrong Side of the Tracks or Outer Banks. And let me tell you know what I've gotten to do now because I feel so bad that I'm doing this on the plane that I bought a word search book. And is it, I always say it wrong. Sudoku? Is that what?
Sudoku, yeah.
Sudoku? I always get it wrong. I get the volume.
That's all right.
Sudoku. So I have one of those books each. And before I can turn on one of these stupid mindless things I've taped, I have to do a Sudoku puzzle and I have to do one word search.
Keeping
to
your
keep
mind
kind
sharp.
Of my mind,
like
my
it.
Brain going. Because I am getting older, Jess, in case you haven't noticed. I am getting older. And
it's a good
so
strategy.
I engage my mind before my mind goes, you know, like jelly in watching these stupid shows.
It'll happen.
Yeah, yeah. So it has definitely happened. So you enjoy Outer Banks.
Thanks.
You enjoy Outer Banks. I'm going to enjoy Caitlin Clark's game against South Carolina.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.